Welcome to PCMC. I'm your host, Mike Bongiorno. This is PCMC, Pop Culture Man Children. This is your one-stop shop for non-toxic fandom. We talk about movies. We talk about TV. We talk about movies. We talk about books. We talk about movies. This is a podcast that comes out every single Wednesday. We came out the first Wednesday, and we've been going ever since. I'm here today with a regular co-host, contributor, Mr. Anthony Bongiorno. Anthony, how are you today?
I'm great. I'm really excited to be here.
Great to have you. Today, we are discussing a phenomenal film, Bye Bye Birdie, from 1963. Now, this was your suggestion.
It was.
I have not watched this movie since childhood. I remember when we were children, we lived in the same house.
We did.
We watched it a lot. I feel like we would watch it like going to sleep at night.
Well, that was me.
Okay. But I liked it. I realized watching it, I watched it twice this week. Mm. And it was the first time I watched it in like 30 years.
Okay.
And one, I realized I knew all the lines of the first 20 minutes. Uh-huh. And then the end was like I'd never seen it before.
So because we would fall asleep.
Yeah. But I was like, this is phenomenal.
Let me tell you, I was actually going to ask you what you remember about the history of this movie, our history with this movie, because it came from me.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
I was at a sleepover at our cousin's house.
Yeah.
And I couldn't fall asleep. Mm-hmm. So our aunt was like, if you can't sleep, I'm going to be up, because she was waiting for our uncle to come home. He worked late.
Yeah, yeah.
She was like, I'm going to be up. Let's watch a movie. Uh-huh. So she was like, oh, I think you'll like this movie. It's a fun movie. I went to see it when I was a
kid. Let me just change your life right now.
Yeah, and we watched from like 12 a.m. to 2 a.m.
Wow.
Watched Bye Bye Birdie. And then I went off to bed. And then the next day, I remember telling like...
You were gay.
Our dad. Yeah.
You woke up gay.
I remember telling our dad like, oh, I watched this great movie. She showed me Bye Bye Birdie. And he was like, oh, yeah. So like, that's like a core memory for them.
Yeah,
because
it's
the only movie they went to see with our grandmother.
Oh, ever. Is that right?
Yeah. She took them to see it when it first came
out.
Wow. And then I got it on VHS. And then I watched it one bajillion times.
Yes. And I also watched it
one bajillion times. Yeah. We both got into it.
It's fantastic. It's so good. I never thought it was bad, but watching it again, I was like, wow, this thing goes, Daddy. It just goes, and it's one banger after another, and it's funny, and everybody's got something to do. Every character's great, and did you read the trivia on this?
So I've read a lot of trivia on this, but what were you...
I didn't know that behind the scenes, like, Dick Van Dyke was really unhappy.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to say is, so later, when I grew up a little and I was reading about it, I learned, and it made me upset because I have such love for the movie. Yeah. Like, everybody involved in this movie hated it because they all were so mad at Anne Margaret.
Yeah.
Because the director, like, had a hard-on for Anne Margaret.
Yeah.
Dick Van Dyke wrote in his memoir that he knew that it was going to be bad when he walked into set and she was sitting in the director's lap.
Yes.
And apparently the Broadway show, Kim's a very minor character.
Yes. It's about Albert.
It's about Albert and Rose.
Yeah.
And that the director like just was so smitten with Anne Margaret that he just added more and more and more and more
but
for
you
her.
Know, who am I to disagree with the legend Dick Van Dyke?
But it's not just him.
But it's
all of them.
Yeah.
Paul Lynde once said that they should have named that movie, "Oh, Look, America, It's Anne Margaret."
I think they're all wrong, though, because I think it's a true ensemble. To say that there's more Anne Margaret than Dick Van Dyke is not true. Now, I know in the...
It's more equal.
Yeah, in the show, it's all Dick Van Dyke. In the show, it's a very small... She is a very small character.
Yeah.
But I think it was smart because guess what? There was no title song in the show.
Right.
The song Bye Bye Birdie was written for her for the movie.
After filming. Now,
right, yeah.
And was paid for by the director out of pocket.
Yeah. And now when they do productions of Bye Bye Birdie, they add it in because you're like, why aren't they singing Bye Bye Birdie and Bye Bye Birdie? Right. So I
also think...
I could get it, like, especially because Dick Van Dyke was in the Broadway cast.
Right. He was.
He was the star.
So was Paul Lynde.
He was so there was the stars of the Broadway show
right.
for the whole time. And then like we're making a movie and then all of a sudden like this character becomes but
even
she's great in it.
Susan Watson, who created the role of Kim on Broadway, later said and this might just be salty because she wasn't cast.
Yeah.
Anyone who likes the film didn't see the show. So they all say terrible things about it. But I feel like it's a lot of scapegoating of just a young, talented star.
Yeah.
Because she had a lot of talent. She is great in it.
She's fantastic.
She does light up the screen.
Yeah. She is hot as all hell.
Oh, she's really hot.
We can talk later about what she awakened in me.
Yeah. But she's so good. She does.
She's so good. She's got funny.
She does a lot of like Cupid doll faces and like.
But she's funny. She's very funny in it.
The How Lovely to Be a Woman scene. I don't think I realized till I was older like that how funny it is that she's like dressing up as like
a
little child
and
while
she hides her jeans under the mattress.
Yeah.
Well, that's the scene that awoken something in me because
The
way she puts on a big sweater and then takes her clothes off the sweater, and then she's just wearing the sweater with her bare legs, and you know it's just her underwear.
You know she's naked. She's naked under there.
It still gives me chills. And then the way she puts on her socks. so hot. But so I can understand their feelings, but you know, it's because they were living in contemporary and we're in 2025 just looking at this classic movie like this is amazing.
Right.
This is fantastic. Everything about this is fantastic.
And I mean, they talked about it a lot on Mad Men actually, but like that opening scene, that iconic image of her singing in front of the blue screen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so good.
And the movie's filmed in Technicolor, which is like a three-strip process, like Wizard of Oz was Technicolor. And blue eyes in Technicolor pop out so much. And her with the blue background, the blue void, and then her blue eyes, it's just perfect. It's such a – it's so amazing. And Dick Van Dyke also has blue eyes that pop through the movie. It's just – it looks like a cartoon. Did you
– That's such a great scene to the – what do my eyes tell you?
Yeah.
When she's talking to Hugo, who's Bobby Rydell.
Yes.
He was another one.
He was a teen star.
He was a teen star, and they also were mad about him because the director kept putting him in more and more scenes.
But you know what? It gives the kids who liked it someone to identify with. Because you know what I mean? Like
the criticism of it was like, oh, they're just trying to market this movie to teenagers.
But why not? It's about teenagers.
Right, right.
Yeah, so much interesting. Did you, I don't know if you read this, in Maureen Stapleton's book, she supposedly, like at a dinner or something during the production, she said to Anne Margaret, hey, come sit with me, kid. I'm the only one here who doesn't want to fuck you.
That's hysterical.
Which is funny because, let me tell you something, that's incorrect. Poland did not want to fuck her. Poland was not interested. Oh, Poland is so great.
Ed, I love you.
He's my favorite human. He's so funny in it. And everything with the mother and the kid. I respect you, Pop. I don't want your respect.
It's so funny. The irony of like this flaming
as like
flamboyant
this
gay man as like this straight suburban dad is so funny.
I like when Albert goes to the bar and he's like, I'd like to come with you, but I'm a married man, so I'm not allowed to enjoy myself. It's just so funny. Every song is good. Another piece of trivia is the director of the film, George Sidney, was one of the co-founders of Hanna-Barbera.
Did know that.
And
there's a bunch of
Hanna-Barbera
stuff
everywhere. Yeah. She has a fucking Fred Flintstone and Barney in her room.
And then she was Anne Margrock on the Flintstones.
But I feel like it also adds to like, it looks like a cartoon.
Yeah.
They really use the Technicolor. Like, it is such a vibrant, it's such a gorgeous movie to look at.
And during the telephone hour, it ends with like the cartoon background.
Yeah. Yeah. And then in Put on a Happy Face, he like draws on the screen and you see the happy, it's just, the effects are so good. The directing's so good. The choreography's so good.
Yeah.
It's absolutely incredible.
Now, what do you think? We have to talk about it. What do you think about Janet Leigh as Rose?
Well, so
who's clearly a Hispanic character.
They changed her name in the original.
A little bit.
In the original show, it was Rose. It wasn't Rose De Leon. It was some other...
Because De Leon could maybe be Italian.
Right, right, right.
I think in the show it was like Perez or something.
Yeah.
And it was Cheetah Rivera.
Yes. It's not. It's unfair that she didn't do the movie.
What's interesting is...
But I do like Janet Leigh in it. I think she's beautiful and I think she's funny and I like her dancing.
Yeah. I mean, I was reading some stuff saying that like she also got mad because like in the play Rose is the lead woman,
right,
and,
sure,
yeah, and she was sharing the screen with Anne Margaret,
yeah.
But interestingly, I don't know if this is true because I saw it on some like YouTube video I watched. They originally offered the role to what's her name from West Side Story, the one who was just an 80 for Brady. Her name escapes me right now.
Oh, I like that you reference 80 for Brady. I had already forgot.
She was in both versions of West Side Story.
I already forgot. Rita Moreno.
Rita Moreno. So it's interesting. If that's true, interesting for two reasons. It would be the second time that she's in a role that Chita Rivera originated on Broadway.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if it is true, then she would have been Hispanic. So why did they then offer it to Janet Leigh, who's white?
I don't know.
But they also cut out the racism, because in the show
more racist.
It's implied in the movie, but yeah. In the show, May is like the mom is overtly racist. Like she doesn't want him to marry her because she's Hispanic.
The only real reference in the movies was like when I found you, you were a hostess at like a taco place,
yeah,
and you
yeah.
see on her desk like these little Mexican tchotchkes. Yeah.
Because there's a song called Spanish Rose that's cut from the movie.
Yeah. Well, I last night in the middle of the night, I very quickly scrubbed through the 1995 TV version with Vanessa Williams and...
who's also not Hispanic.
Yes. Right, she's yeah. not. Jason Alexander. And from what I've heard, that skews more towards the show.
It's super faithful to the original show.
Yeah, and there are so many songs in that aren't in
this
movie.
And the plot is way different.
Yeah.
There's a fun scene with about statutory rape.
Yeah.
Where Birdie like tries to force himself on Kim and gets arrested.
Birdie and Kim have almost no interaction in this movie.
Yeah.
Also, this movie, the whole thing with him being a chemist is in this movie. He wanted to be a teacher.
An English teacher. uh-huh.
And then it goes wrong or whatever, and then
Hugo
still
punches him at the end of Act 1.
Right, but I don't think does he even punch him in the show?
In the show, she's mad at Albert,
uh-huh.
So she convinces Hugo to go. So she like gets him all riled up to go punch him.
Oh.
So he punches him, and that's how Act 1 ends.
Right.
And then like I Got a Lot of Living to Do and all that other stuff yeah. happens in Act 2.
Birdie
gets arrested for like
right.
I guess Kim lies about her age and he tries to kiss her, but then she feels uncomfortable. It's like a whole different plot.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. The plot's all different. Yeah. But still, I think this movie's
it's
fantastic.
A great movie.
It's fucking great. I love everything about it. I love when Paulin's like, he's trying to get Paulin on his side, and he's like, we could be partners. And he's like, you know what we should do? Let's take this and go to the black neighborhoods and disseminate it.
No, he doesn't say, I thought you were being serious for a second.
And then the property values would go down, partner. And then you and I could buy up all the land.
That's horrible.
He creates crack. He calls it speed up.
Yeah.
And he gives it to a turtle, and then they give it the whole Russian, all the Russian jokes in it is not there.
Yeah.
The Russian,
and then it gets like there's a part
Ed Sullivan playing himself in it.
Yeah, well, when they're like all sped up and everything's in fast mm-hmm. motion, I was like, this has just fully become like Nick at Night. Like,
yeah,
this is so
it's
cartoony.
Silly.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because in the Broadway show, it was the Ed Sullivan show. But I guess he was a big get, so they got him to be in the movie to play himself.
He's not bad.
He's not.
He's obviously
but
not
for some
an
reason,
actor.
He like knows Rose.
Yeah. He's obviously not an actor, but he does a good job. Like, you could see he has a presence. Like, he doesn't do a terrible job. Did you know Elvis wanted to play Conrad Birdie?
So, but his agent or manager said
well,
no,
his
right?
evil manager, Parker, was like, no, that's a parody of you. You can't be a parody of yourself.
So
which is interesting because then 2 years later, the same director makes Viva Las Vegas
with Anne Margaret.
And then Anne Margaret actually has an affair with him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because of course.
Yeah.
The two hottest people on earth at the time.
Right. So, but just, and I like the guy who plays Birdie in it, but just think about how different it would be with Elvis in it. It's crazy.
It would be an Elvis movie. Which should add a
right, they would have added more Elvis.
Yeah.
They would have changed it again.
And it's weird because his name really is from
Conway
Twitty.
Yeah, yeah.
who was like an Elvis type at the time.
Right. We should say, okay, I want to say some of the stuff, some of the credits here. The film's directed by George Sidney. This was one of his last films. He had a long career in musicals. He started off doing Little Rascals shorts.
Wow.
And then he did The Harvey Girls with Judy Garland, Annie Get Your Gun. He did a lot of musical stuff. The screenplay is by Irving Brecher, based on a play by Michael Stewart. The music and lyrics are by Charles Strauss and Lee Adams. Interestingly, in the credits for the movie, they say they give like credits for the show, like originally produced by, like it was very weird. I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah.
The music
produced
is,
on the stage by
like
I feel like that I've seen that before. I feel like that used to be a thing in movie musicals.
Yeah. I was gonna shift to the songs and talking about the songs.
Well, I was gonna say before we get there, I don't know what it is about old movie musicals, but I feel like there are a lot of movie musicals that were adapted from Broadway shows, and I feel like they always, like, the instinct was to change them a lot.
Right.
And I don't know why that is. And then, you know, it's interesting. When I was doing some reading to prepare for this episode, I had a thought, and this is something that I'm sure you already know as like a film person, but like film criticism really changed after home video, because so much of what I was reading of like the contemporary criticism were like, you know, as someone who's seen the show, it's not as good, but it's a great night out.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, I feel like films used to be, especially like musicals and spectaculars, like used to be reviewed like theater, where like the value judgment was on if it was worth you going to see it or not.
Well, I think newspaper reviewers still often have that kind of, they've got like one toe in consumer advocacy. I think one thing that's changed with video is, like, you used to be able to be wrong. Like old critics would be like, and then this happened, and then it didn't happen.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas, like, now you can't, you have to be absolutely correct.
Yeah, true. But I'm just thinking, like, I feel like a lot of, some of the value judgment isn't even about the film as a text, but as a, like, event.
Yeah. I think you still see that a little bit.
I guess. It seemed way more prominent in the stuff that I was reading for this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
It's like, and even like when they were making the movie,
were there good like reviews of this?
Yeah,
movie?
There were good reviews of it. But like the criticism was like, oh, that's just, you know, they're trying to make it more family-ish. They're trying to get more kids to see it. Like, I guess it really was, I guess it still is to some extent, but like it really was much more like, let's pack this out as much as we can with as many different type of demographics.
Maybe the show was more like, let's really make fun of Elvis. Like, let's look down on that popularity.
Probably. The show is probably more biting.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never seen a production of the show.
And also, like, Elvis, in real life, he marries Priscilla, and she's, like, 16 or something. So having him try to hook up with Kim is kind of a criticism of that.
Right. Yeah.
Which doesn't happen in this movie.
I mean, in the movie, he kisses her, and then she, like, passes out.
Right.
And then Hugo.
But then at the end, she doesn't like, she like pulls away when he's.
Yeah, you could tell she looks uncomfortable. I think she plays that really well.
It's interesting because there's the whole thing with Hugo, right? Hugo pins her.
Yeah.
I love.
And he's so cute, Bobby Wright.
Her best friend, Ursula, says, you guys have a permanent understanding. and that whole song
is so good. It's,
and just the choreography, the cinematography, the colors, like people like. Like every little shot of that is like so brilliantly constructed.
And somebody's on a car phone.
Yeah,
in that sequence.
And he's got like girls all around him. Yeah. There's guys like lifting weights and on the phone. People in the showers. They're at the candy shop. Such interesting. The thing where they're all like, sitting
at a table.
But like their feet are dancing underneath. So brilliant. I forget what my point was with that. I've lost my train of thought. Let's move on. One of the things it's also like a bit of a weird film. Like in a good way. Like in the beginning, like there's this newscast and then they're like, we're going to show you a little bit of footage about his meteoric rise. And it's just a photo montage of like his face and his hips, but then like JFK looking a man. Yeah,
it's so
and
weird.
And then Sinatra looking man.
Yeah. It is very weird and cartoony.
Yeah, it's super cartoony. The whole thing is super cartoony. This is 3 years after Psycho. And what do you call it? Janet Leigh looks fantastic in it. We see her in a bra again.
Yeah.
Like we did in Psycho.
That's her thing.
And the mayor of Sweet Apple, Ohio, is the person, the Texan that she steals the money from in Psycho.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Who's such a great character in that movie.
Did you recognize the set of the town square?
From every movie ever?
Yeah, from Back to the Future.
And, yeah, and a bunch of other stuff, yeah.
That song is so good.
Let's talk about the songs. So that song is Sincere.
Honestly Sincere. I love that he just says, now suffer.
Yeah. I love it. I love the mayor's wife keeps fainting. And he's like, what are you doing? Bernie, what are you doing?
And then at the end, they're all on the ground, and it's like,
it's the, like homage,
the homage to Gone with the Wind.
Yeah, of them all like just passed out. That, yeah, it's such, it's so funny. No, he's great. I really like the guy who plays, but he has on his buckle, it says Birdie.
Yeah.
It's.
I think part of the joke is that like, he's handsome, but like, he's not like that hot.
Yeah.
He's like, and he's like kind of old looking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like he doesn't look like his age.
Right.
Like the right age.
He doesn't look as like good as Elvis.
No.
Looks. Yeah. Yeah. Sincere's a really good song. I also like his other song. Got a lot of living to do.
Got a lot of living to do is a great sequence.
Well, the choreography is amazing.
Sequence is so good.
The way it keeps going from like Conrad to Kim to Hugo.
Yeah,
then like it goes to Hugo and he's like tapping on the thing.
Yeah,
and they're like the way they're like showing each other off or showing each other up, and she's trying to like, and she looks so hot in that scene. Her like little pink thing or whatever she's wearing. And the way like they're dancing.
Also, she's supposed to be 16 and she's like singing about like men and like, yeah, just like in all these guys' laps and stuff.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of that. But then later on, it's implied that both Rosie and Kim are virgins. This whole time, Rosie has not had sex with Albert.
Yeah.
Because she says some line that's like, I'm just an old fashioned good girl. And then Kim's like, I'm a good girl too. And she's like, really? Like, she's surprised by that. And that's when she goes out to, like, the, like, Shriners thing, and she grabs all their dicks. I'm not sure what's happening there.
Yeah, there's a lot there.
The guys with the fezzes at, like, a meeting, and she's like, I guess she's trying to show, she's mad at Albert, so she's trying to, like, live it up and, like, show him, because Albert is, you know, just does what his mama wants, whatever. His mama, played by Maureen Stapleton.
6 months older.
Who's 3 months older than him.
Oh, my God.
They're the same age as she's playing his mother.
It's so, it's classic, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fantastic. And, yeah, like you see them, like, at the meeting. And they, like, they get pulled under the table. It's like, is she just grabbing their dicks?
I guess. Yeah, that's what I always assumed. It's a great...
But then the way they're swinging her is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. The choreography is great.
Yeah.
There's a great joke in the beginning where she's like, goodbye, May. And she goes, call me Mrs. Peterson.
Yeah. I also love that the mother is always like, she's signaled coming by the squeak of her orthopedic shoes.
Yeah.
She does a great... All her shit is great. Like
when she puts her head in the oven.
Yeah, yeah.
Mom, it's electric.
I'm coming, Lou.
Kids is such a great song.
Yes. Oh, and
Kids,
for her to sing a song with Paul Lynde is so funny.
Yeah.
It's an electric stove. Yeah. It's
Kids is a great song. I mean, every scene with Paul Lynde is great.
Yeah.
I think the Ed Sullivan song is just so funny.
I've got a business, a wife and a family, and now this.
The fact that they're all in robes.
Yeah.
It's so good. We'll be coast to coast with our favorite hosts. Ed, I love you.
Yeah, I love that he's against it.
Until he hears it's Ed Sullivan.
Yeah, and what do you call it? Conrad's staying in the house. And he comes down, and he's like, I need a church key, man. And he's like, well, we got a church, but they're open. And he's like, you're like from nowheres, man.
It's so good. Yeah, every banger after banger, Put on a Happy Face is great.
Yeah.
And it's a great sequence.
Put on a Happy Face and Kids both feel like old standards, but they were written for the show.
Yeah.
Like, you forget that Put on Happy Face is from this show because it's like a song.
Yeah.
But I think in this play, it comes very early and it's he doesn't sing it to her.
It's him singing to a girl who's upset that by the time Conrad comes back, he'll be too old for her or something.
Right.
Yeah. It's got like less meaning.
Yeah. It's better that they put it.
Yeah.
I like where it is in that part of the show and movie. And it's better they sing it to Rose.
Yeah. And I
and
think
that whole thing he does where like he like pulls like her essence out of her, yeah. and then there's like a shadow version of her.
Yeah.
And then they're dancing together, and like I was like, wow, this is very complex stuff happening.
I think One Boy is a great song too.
Yes. One Boy is a good song. That might be my least favorite song though.
Really? I love that one.
What do you think is the worst song?
Like the one I'd fast forward through?
Yeah.
I remember as a kid, I would fast forward through the whole like symphony part, like the ballet part.
Okay.
And I think as a kid, I also used to get bored during like the Shriner sequence.
Yeah. Because there's no lyrics there. It's just it's just interesting dancing.
Yeah.
Maud's Mad Cat Cafe. Yeah. And then the mother hooks up with Maud.
Yeah.
The dialogue is so snappy. Yeah, so they just make him a biochemist to do the thing where he creates the speed, to do the thing where he gives it to the the Russian guy.
I mean, that's pretty funny.
Yeah.
It gets them their time back.
There's such a... But it's also like... the movie flows. Like when she... When Rose picks Kim, she picks up like... She goes to like the office of like the Conrad Birdie like official fan club, and she just picks her out, and we see like a black and white photo of her, and then that transitions into her live action of her in color. Like it's just shit like that.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, and then it's her picking up the phone.
I have some funny lines written down. Like when the mother's like talking about like how it was like 6 hours in labor with Albert. Did I leave? No. I stayed right there so he wasn't alone when he was born. one point, so when he wants to, when Dick Van Dyke wants to test the drug that he creates, he goes, "Do you have a hen?" And Paul Lynn does the thing where he pats his pockets. Just stupid it's shit so like good. That. But then there's a turtle.
Yeah.
They have an old turtle for some reason.
I think Anne Margaret's so good when she's very good at playing like, it almost to me was like shades of like a proto Cher Horowitz.
Yes.
Where it's like a little girl playing as a woman.
Yeah. Like when she's like calling them by their first name.
Yeah. That part is so good. And then when she's screaming like, "Mommy, mommy, mommy." And she's like, "Conrad Birdie's going to kiss me."
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah. She puts on like these jeans and then like a little sideways baseball cap. And then comes downstairs and she calls the mother Doris.
Yeah.
And then she calls the, what's the father's name?
Oh, Harry.
Harry. And she's like, "Harry, you took the news of me and Hugo very well."
Quite well.
"I'm out of cigarettes. Do you have one?" And he's like, "No, me too. Do you want my pipe?" Who wants the respect of a 10-year-old kid?
In the 90s remake, it's George Wendt. In that role.
Not
the same.
Not the same kind of star power. I sent you the clip of the infamous Poland Halloween special. Where he sings kids.
Yeah.
Like, and they're like trick-or-treating.
Yeah,
and
it's so good.
It's good. That's like one of the big failures of all time. What's his name? Bruce Valanche wrote on it. And he also wrote on the Star Wars Christmas special. So he has a book about like all the things he did that were terrible. The kids part is good. And then like there's a bunch of stuff with Margaret Hamilton as the Wicked Witch.
Oh yeah.
But it's like the whole Poland Halloween special is like, it's like a fever dream. You're like, kisses in it?
Yeah.
And it's like, why is any of this happening?
So the deal with Poland is like, he was not openly gay, right?
But he,
cause he couldn't be.
But his comedic persona,
right,
was that he was gay.
Yeah. It's a weird thing that like only could have existed when it existed.
Right. Like, no, he's not gay, but like, yes, he's
but
gay.
Like, yeah, like Liberace.
Right, right.
Like Liberace was like not openly gay.
Right. Like he was the center square on Hollywood Squares.
Yeah.
Like I remember there's one where the host is like, "It's a ship of all men and the one woman falls overboard. And what does the captain say?" And Poland's like, "Full steam ahead." Which is like, I'm gay. Is the joke.
"Hey, world, I'm gay. I'm a homosexual."
Yeah. There's so many old Hollywood. He was like such a Hollywood player. Like, he would have these crazy parties. This is crass. But there's a very like old story of him like coming to a party. And he's like, "It smells like pussy in here." And then he goes, "I think."
When are we getting this biopic? When is Ryan Murphy going to make this season a feud of like him versus Anne Margaret?
Oh my God. Incredible. Incredible.
That would be so good.
Well, his legacy now is that.
It's just like pussy in here.
On American Dad, the alien is just a Paul Lynde. He's clearly Paul Lynde. Yeah. And it's Seth MacFarlane doing a Paul Lynde impression. But no kid would get it at all. His persona was so weird. And you wouldn't have anything like that.
Yeah. You know, this was Dick Van Dyke's first movie.
Is it really?
Yeah.
But his show had been on.
His show had been on, and he had been on Broadway.
Yeah.
But this was his first movie role.
Let's say Dick Van Dyke is 99 years old. He just lost his house in the fires.
Yeah.
And he was saved by his neighbor. He was like, I think he was like crawling out or something. And his neighbors picked him and his wife up and saved them. That's so he's okay. But it's sad that he lost his house.
Yeah.
He's 99. He was an American treasure. Did you ever see the clip of him on Masked Singer?
No.
He was on Masked Singer.
Well, they did like a 95th birthday special on CBS.
Yeah,
for the Old People Network or whatever. And he was like dancing and stuff.
He dances in the second
Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins. He's still in great shape.
And he looks exactly like he did in the original Mary Poppins when he played the old man.
Yeah. Yes.
He really looks like that. It's so crazy.
Yeah. He was a Bernie Sanders supporter.
Yeah, I love Dick Van Dyke.
He's a fucking right-headed guy. He's fantastic.
I'd go back and rewatch the Dick Van Dyke Show. I bet it holds up.
I'm sure. Yeah, it's interesting because it's one of the early.
And Mary Tyler Moore was his wife.
Yeah, and it's an early show about show business because he plays a writer on a show, so it's like 30 Rock a little bit.
Yes,
because he's not the star of the show. Carl Reiner is.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's fantastic. One of his later roles is he had a great cameo role in an episode of Scrubs as an old doctor. And then he had like
Diagnosis Murder.
Yeah, where he was a fucking detective. He's fantastic. He's never bad.
Janet Leigh had an interesting career. I feel like she had Psycho, she had this, she had a couple other things, but like she kind of didn't endure into the 70s and 80s. I don't know if that was by choice or...
I don't know. Let's look up her career. It could be just the kind of stuff that Janet Leigh. I like it with the black hair.
Jamie Lee has a more robust career.
Yes. She did show up in Halloween H2O, Janet Leigh.
She did with the Psycho music.
Yes.
Notes of the Psycho music playing in the background.
Yeah. Fucking... The idea of Nepo babies is not new.
No.
Sigourney Weaver's a Nepo baby.
Is she?
Yes. Her father was the president of NBC.
Oh, wow.
He created the Today Show and the Tonight Show. And the idea of, like, commercials.
Huh.
She was very, very rich.
So the thing with Nepo babies, too, is that, like, it is also common for, like, talent to run in families.
Yeah, you could be, like, yeah.
Like Jamie Lee Curtis is talented.
Sigourney Weaver is talented. Yeah. Like, Sigourney Weaver's good.
What's her name? Julia Louis-Dreyfus is like a huge Nepo baby too.
Is she? Who are her parents?
She comes from the Dreyfus family is like really, really rich. Like she grew up super rich.
Oh, rich. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Not like Nepo was in like Hollywood, but
she
had a ton of connections because her parents were so rich.
Okay. Oh, wow. She goes back into the 40s, Janet Leigh, in movies. She worked a lot.
Psycho was the first movie to show a man and woman who are not married in bed, right?
I don't remember if that's true. It might be. That's a very scandalous scene because they got their shirts off. Yes, it is.
Yeah. And then on the poster, she's in her bra.
She's in Touch of Evil before Psycho, the Orson Welles movie.
She's really good.
I'm looking at what did she do after. She's fantastic. I think she's very good. I think she's funny. I think she's charming.
She's a good voice.
She fits the whole like she knows what movie she's in.
Yeah,
she's like got such a lively thing, and I like the scenes with her and Kim together.
It's interesting that me too. she doesn't have a solo song though.
No,
Cheetah Rivera had solo songs on the show. None of them made it to the movie, and I wonder if that's because she wasn't a strong singer. I mean, like her voice isn't bad, but
she did a lot of little TV stuff after.
It's also so funny that like because she has like black hair, she's like othered racially.
Yeah, But I like her with the black hair. And I like Kim with the blonde hair, which she dyes her hair blonde. Oh, yeah. I told you not to dye your hair blonde, but it's my hair. You dare defy your mother?
What if she, doesn't she say like, oh, she says something.
Isn't
really...
it a gas?
Oh, yeah. So good.
Yeah, you're right. You were talking before about how she's like Cher from Clueless.
Yeah.
She does such a good job of, that's where I lost my train of thought. She does a great job at like playing a young person who's playing older.
Yeah, yeah.
Like she, like the way she talks to Hugo and the way like when you said like she's like look into my eyes, look into my eyes.
And she's like you and I are forever.
Right.
It's so funny.
Right. And when Hugo's like, oh, you fainted when around him, and she was like, I did not. I was just tired from like she becomes a little kid.
Yeah.
But do you think she really didn't have a crush on Birdie? Or it was just like the phenomenon of him. Like, is she really like lying to Hugo?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think.
But she does really love Hugo.
I think she loves Hugo, but I think she's just really attracted to Birdie. Yeah. Because he's attractive and he's, you know, like he's hot and she's a kid, right, and whatever. But like, but I do think that she does feel uncomfortable.
Yes.
There's shades of the show, that subplot of the show.
Yeah.
Where like once she's in person with him. And he's going to kiss her. Yeah. She is like, oh, this is a grown man.
Yeah.
And like,
isn't
she almost seems
that she's
relieved.
A teenager and he's going to kiss her on TV.
Yeah. It's almost like played as like it's a relief for her when she doesn't have to kiss him.
Yeah.
Because Hugo punches him. It is weird. But like, it's also such a product of its time.
And
I could see it being like, oh, it's just an innocent kiss.
Paul Lind comes on the screen and he starts talking and then they're like, get off. And then some guy like goes to pull him and he's like, ah, nice to meet you. And he shakes his head and he pulls him. if any of these rubes try to stop me, I'll crush them. I love the bar that they're in. The weird Russian stuff. Like just a lot of like Russian jokes. And then when the Russian opera is happening and he starts doing it fast because he's taking the speed.
Yeah.
You see, I guess, Russian, I don't know what they're supposed to be, politicians watching it on TV. As, like, it gets worse, like, the picture changes.
Yeah, he gets, like, he's embarrassed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so 60s in that way of, like, that Cold War way of, like,
right.
The Russians. I was actually listening to the original Broadway recording of some of the songs. Because a lot of the arrangements are different. Like kids in the original Broadway show, like May is not in that scene. So it's just him singing kids.
Yeah.
And there's a joke in the original Broadway version when he's like, they're talking about all the ways that kids are disappointing.
Yeah.
And Paul goes, we'll never beat the Russians.
Yeah. I just think it's so funny. Like as a kid, I definitely didn't get the Khrushchev picture.
No, not at all.
Or like the joke where he's like, long live Stalin. And he's like, no. And he's like, oh, I mean, Stalin lived too long. Yeah, that's interesting. But that's a whole thing that doesn't happen in the play either, that they can't do it. And then he feels like, oh, no, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was added for the movie.
What about, Nozos is interesting. And this is the kind of like, I feel like very 60s, like big filmmaking, which is like, they found a way to like put in like monuments, like there's shots with the White House, there's shots with like in the beginning montage of like all the young women in America reacting to him being.
They're at the Washington Monument.
Yeah. Like you see all that stuff. And then even like in New York, like outside of Albert's window, it looks like he's like, you could kind of recognize where he is.
Yeah. When he's talking to Pidge.
Pidge. Because of course
he has a pigeon
that I was nervous watching him lean out that window.
Yeah.
But then she thinks he's gonna kill himself. Hilarious. Did they in real life actually put like the names on windows that high? You know, like the window says like Al May Lou.
It's like
what floor are you supposed to be on?
I don't know.
The whole like she wants to get married and he's, you know, the mother. I've got a condition. She, Mama won't tell me what it is. It's like, I'll tell you. I've got about 1/10 the normal heart.
She's so good.
At the end, she gets married to Maud.
Yeah.
And she asks for permission. And then she's like, we already did it.
Yeah.
And then they run off.
And then she's like, it's about time.
Right. Yeah. In when I was watching the 1995 version, it is much more racist.
Oh, yeah.
She's much more like, she's your secretary. Yeah. You know.
The 95 version was nominated for a couple of Emmys. Like, it was pretty successful.
It's good.
It is good.
It's pretty good.
Jason Alexander as in the Dick Van Dyke role.
Right.
But, you know, it got me thinking, like I always do whenever we talk about these old movies, like, could it be remade now? What would be the best way to remake it now?
When was its last Broadway production? Not that long ago, right?
I don't know. I feel like it. I don't remember there being a recent one. Did you read about the sequel? Because we got to talk about that.
No, wait. No, that was one in 2009.
Really? It must have not been successful because I didn't see it, and I would have seen it.
Right.
Who was in it?
I'd love to see it. I'm looking it up now. Gina Gershon is Rosie Alvarez.
Oh, she's good. It ran from October to January. Not very long.
No. Bill Irwin is Harry McAfee, the father.
Oh, I do remember this. Now I'm looking at the logo. I remember this. I guess I just didn't get a chance to see it.
There's a million kids in the cast that are just teenager. Oh, John Stamos is Albert Peterson.
Oh, I remember this.
He sang Kids. Who was Kim? Oh, Ali Trim is Kim McAfee. Where is she from? Yeah, I guess it didn't do well. I would love to. I feel like it's such a fun show, though. Like,
so there was a Broadway sequel to this show.
I, you are blowing my mind. I knew nothing of this.
You didn't? Okay.
No.
So
what is it about?
It's one of the biggest Broadway flops of all time.
Wow. Okay.
It's called Bring Back Birdie.
All right.
From 1981, and it's got an interesting backstory.
Please.
So Bye Bye Birdie is and was one of the most produced amateur shows, like by high schools and amateur theaters, sure, or whatever. Sure. So they got the idea to write a sequel and license it just for amateurs.
Oh.
But then, so it sounds like they didn't like put that much effort into it, because they were like, oh, it's just going to be an amateur, we're going to make some money off licensing. Uh-huh. But then some Broadway producers were like, no, let's do it on Broadway.
Uh-huh.
So it's Cheetah Rivera came back.
Whoa.
To reprise her role as Rosie.
Uh-huh.
Dick Van Dyke didn't come back.
Okay.
Donald O'Connor
played
from Singing in the Rain.
Yeah.
Plays Albert. And it's about them trying to find, like after he was discharged from the army, like he disappeared.
Mm.
And they are trying to find him. And hilarity ensues. They like travel.
Did it?
They travel to like some small town in Arizona. They meet this like fat mayor of this like small town who ends up being Birdie. Like it's like making fun of like Fat Elvis.
Oh,
and then they try.
What year was this?
1981.
Wow, that's way later, huh?
Yeah, they try to. It's like for some reason he wants to like bring him back. Because he could like get a lot of money.
Music by the same people.
Yeah, yeah. And it ends with a reprise of Rosie from the original.
I'm looking at it's the Wikipedia.
I'm not explaining the plot very well, but the plot also makes no sense.
Okay.
Do you know how many performances it went?
No, how many?
Four.
Wow.
31 counting previews, 4 official performances before it closed. It closed in 2 days. It ran from March 5th to March 7th.
How do they know though, like,
I don't know.
Is
there
it
are
like
some
the producers. Like, can you really tell in one
like
show?
It must be like the reviews are so bad, the producers pull out or something. That's got to be what it is. Because there are a few shows that have folded in less than a week.
Wow,
it's crazy.
Well, the original Carrie was a big, huge failure.
Oh, yeah,
but then you and I saw a revival of the same book.
But it was same book,
but different. Different vibe.
Book, same music.
Oh, same. Oh, okay.
They revived.
But I loved that.
It was really good. The staging of the original Carrie is also crazy.
Right. It was like a big
80s and lasers
They didn't do any. Yeah. They didn't do themselves any favors by trying to make it this big shining thing.
So
this looks terrible.
It was apparently horrible, but it's crazy that Cheetah Rivera came back.
Dick Van Dyke.
I mean, it's so rare to do like a Broadway sequel, even rarer that it's good. Like, I can count on one. Like, there was like, there's like some sequel to Phantom of the Opera that's apparently horrible.
Albert Jr.
Yeah, there's their kids play character. It's all like wacky.
None of the other, like, there's none of the
no, the McAfees aren't in it. No,
I love that where they live is called Sweet Apple, Ohio.
Yeah,
it's like perfect. Sweet Apple.
You can find on YouTube somebody recorded like there's like a transfer of an old VHS bootleg of it from Broadway.
I wonder if the music is worth anything.
Probably not. I mean, it got horrible reviews.
I think you could do a movie of this now.
But would you modernize it or would it be a period piece?
You mean, would you make Birdie like...
Would it be set now?
And well, if you set like it now,
modernize
you
modernize it?
Right. Well, if you set it now, then Birdie has to be like Justin Bieber or something.
Yeah.
And I know I'm an old millennial by even saying that. Yeah. Like, I don't know who's cool now.
I don't know.
He would have to be a totally different appeal.
Right.
Like if he were like someone that young girls like, his appeal would have to be totally different. Yeah. He would be like a TikTok star that like became a singer.
Yeah, it'd be shitty. So like, I guess the best way to make it would be to make it set in the 50s or 60s.
Yeah.
Because there's also that whole thing of like the American teenager was invented in the 50s and 60s.
Right, and this is so much dealing with that.
That, yeah.
That whole thing.
Because I guess the idea is that like prior to the middle of the 20th century, like you were a kid and then you just were an adult.
And then go to fucking work.
Yeah, yeah, really.
Yeah, I think magazines.
Like adolescence is like, was not just, it was just like not honored.
Right, right. Well, and like.
Or acknowledged.
I think magazine culture is where they started using the term teenager.
Yeah.
And it was because you didn't have to go to work right away. So right. Like a new kind of, and that kind of still happens. I mean, like people in their 30s now, like act like people in their like, you know, teens, like,
yeah.
I mean, like there was a time where like someone in their 50s was like, well, you're ready to die. It's like now people in their 50s are like in their 30s because we live longer and we're more healthy in general.
That's the whole thing about like the millennial extended adolescence.
Right.
I mean, I guess people did.
Like, but we're the greatest generation.
We are. But
we're
like
the smartest, most empathetic.
Oh yeah,
hardest
working.
We
are the best.
We don't make it, but we still don't make as much money.
History will remember us kindly. I do think like you think of like a man. I guess it would be a man most likely who like has to go to work the next day on a Sunday. Like, can you imagine being like us? Like, fuck, I hate my fucking life. Like, I'm sure that they did, but like,
right.
It doesn't feel like, I don't know. I feel like there is a thing of like, we now, even as adults, are like, we're not adults.
That's so funny.
Where like, I feel like it used to be like, no, you're an adult now. Like you dress like a grown up. You are serious.
Yes. Yeah. You don't have t-shirts.
Yeah. No, seriously.
Where's your tie?
Remember so that, what's that story of like Trump like smacked Eric across the face because he was wearing a jersey to a hockey game?
Yeah.
Like, wear a suit.
Wear a suit.
Like a gentleman.
Yeah.
This is very much dealing with like the rise of like teen culture.
Yeah. You know, I have a very strong memory of like having a crush on Anne Margaret and not understanding that the movie was old, and then like seeing grumpy old men that she's in
and being
she's
like, she's
60.
Still hot.
Well, now I'm like, she's still like, now that I'm 40, I'm 41. I'd be like, she's so fucking hot. But as a kid, I was like so disillusioned. I was like, well, she's an old lady. She's so hot. I can't even fantasize without time travel involves.
That's. But what's funny is she always plays the sex kid.
No, she's the, like,
even
she's
grumpy
the exact
old men.
Same. Yeah, she's doing the exact same thing.
Yeah,
in Grumpy Old Men.
Those are great movies.
You know. I love them as a kid. I need to revisit them to really.
I don't want to rewatch them because I'm afraid. But they were like, they were really liked by adults back then.
Yeah. Yeah, they were popular. There's a story told by Kevin Pollak where they were on the set of the first movie. And he was like, hey, it's a great script. And he's like, this script is bullshit. I owe my bookie $1 million.
Who said that?
Walter Matthau, of course.
You know, I was thinking of the injustices of being a woman, especially in Hollywood.
Yeah,
and like think about in the 60s, Walter Matthau and Anne Margaret, and that one day they would have to play love interests.
I know.
Like
he looks like
he was
a bulldog.
Already an old bulldog in the 60s, while she was like young and hot.
I know, it's not fair. It's not fair. And then the second movie has Sophia Loren.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to revisit those. All right. This has been Bye Bye Birdie. If you haven't seen it,
please watch it.
It's it's not free anywhere. You have to buy it from Amazon. Or Amazon Prime.
Or YouTube.
Is it on YouTube?
It's on YouTube. You could buy it on YouTube.
Yeah. Does anyone do that though? I've never rented anything on YouTube.
Bobby does it all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to talk to him about that. Anthony, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
We end every episode by saying,
go bye bye, Birdie.